What's up, Breakthrough Success listeners? Mark Cabrera, the podcast and virtual summit launch coach here. And one of the things that we all need to have is financial preparedness for anything that can happen in a marriage, like being prepared for that, being prepared for any kind of recession. We need to have the financial preparedness for any kind of situation that can come our way. It's just better to prepare now than when the actual situation happens. So our guest is going to help us be financially prepared in this episode. He built a seven-figure real estate portfolio, which he started in 2005. And this portfolio allowed him to take a multi-year sabbatical to deal with heartbreaking personal tragedy when his wife passed away in 2013. Our guest now empowers fathers to secure their family's financial future as the founder of Prepared Fathers and hosts the podcast A Minute with Jay, for fathers who want to become more financially prepared. Our guest who joins us for this episode of Breakthrough Success is none other than Jay Cabrani. Jay, welcome to the show.
Great to be with you, Mark.
Jay, I am so happy to have you on Breakthrough Success. And I feel like this is one of those very important topics, being financially prepared for all these different things that can happen. Can you share with us a little bit on your journey of financial preparedness and how you got to where you are today?
Sure. You know what? It was one of those lessons which I had to learn kind of in a very harsh way. So a simple background, born and raised Toronto, and basically went to school to be an accountant, a professional accountant. That's going to come in very relevant later. And basically my entire adult life, it's been a combination of being an entrepreneur for over 20 plus years in various different businesses, plus a real estate investor. Which started back, like, my first child was born in 2005. So basically have been an investor ever since. So now the financial preparedness journey that you're talking about is one which, you know, had three kids. You know, they were born 2005, 2007, 2009. Let's just say things were super, super busy at home. I was the outwardly focused spouse, you know, on business, real estate, etc. And my wife was the internally focused spouse, all right? House cycle, domestic cycle, kids cycle, et cetera. But back in 2014, Mark, basically life threw me a curveball where she unfortunately passed away. So overnight, you know, like the day after she passed away, I was a single father of three kids. They were 5, 7, and 9 at the time. Now, earlier I did say that basically I was the, you know, the financial spouse. So it was one of those things where I didn't know anything about inside the house, what the kids do, et cetera. So I had to take a four-year sabbatical. And that sabbatical was, yes, it was funded by my real estate portfolio. But truly, it was because I was kind of, I was halfway prepared. I had wills. So my wife and I were executors of each other's estate, et cetera. But let's just say there was a lot of other details. When I was that executor, Mark, it was... Again, with my accounting background, entrepreneur in real estate, you would think I'd be able to handle something like that. But I had a lot of issues. And when I started talking to other dads about it, Mark, then I recognized right away. I just said, you know, like, what would happen? Something happens to you. Like, are things kind of ready? Would your family know what to do? And unfortunately, in almost every case, the answer was no. So that was and when I recognized that, that is what ultimately birthed Prepared Fathers. It was that idea to help empower fathers financially, because a lot of us were just kind of handed the role, didn't really have a lot of education. So that's kind of a longer answer to how preparedness hit me. And you are right, by the way, kudos. It is necessary for every household. Whatever your belief systems are about money, the only thing you need to kind of agree is to live in a first world country like us, you're going to need money. So it's good to, and you also know for certain, there will be curveballs thrown at you in life. You got to be ready for it. So that is kind of exactly why Prepared Fathers is here. And that's why I love going on, you know, podcasts like yours to promote the message.
And it's really interesting how even with your background and your skill set up, like you would think you had everything to be prepared. Mm-hmm. But even then you weren't prepared, and not everyone goes into accounting. So I'm wondering if you could share with us, what were some of the bigger things that you realized, oh, wow, I have no idea what I'm doing. I thought I knew this. I didn't. What were some of those things?
Yeah. All right. So in terms of like the actual paperwork or whatever. I was in charge of that, so I knew where all that stuff was. That's good. But there were details which were missing. And once you're an executor of an estate, dealing with institutions like banks, insurance companies, etc., you need, you know, they have all these privacy things that they have to deal with, which is fine, but you need to have all the information, all the passwords. I didn't have all the passwords written down in one place. I did not have the simplest, her safe deposit box key. She had a safe deposit box. I didn't know where the key was. Okay, so when you go to the bank, try and deal with a bank and open a safe deposit box when you don't have the key. It is exceptionally difficult. And just overall, it's a process which, when you are so close, some executors are not like, you know, a spouse or whatever. So there was a lot of emotional things on top as well. So those were kind of like the big ones. And let's just say that, yes, I had a will, but there was probably some more things I could have, like a couple of powers of attorney, one for financial, one for health, right? And I probably could have had the information better recorded in one place. That is what I recognize, that I did not have, I had, you know, maybe some stuff in email, some stuff in a file, some stuff on my phone. So it was not thoughtfully organized in one place. So those are the big ones I hope that people realize. On top of the will and powers of attorney, you kind of need that level of organization and communication with your key stakeholders, whether it's your spouse, whether it's the executor of your estate, an adult child, etc. So those were kind of the shortfalls that I had. And I know that I was educated in kind of finances and paperwork, etc. And I still have problems.
And that's a very great point, keeping it all organized. I feel like some people, they don't want to act like it's going to happen. Like, writing a will doesn't mean like you're kind of acting like it's going to happen. Like, it's going to happen no matter what, but some people just feel like the act of doing it is like this cringeworthy thing that they should avoid until they're all a lot older versus doing it now if it hasn't been done already. I'm wondering if you could speak to that a little bit, because some people, they really want to put off this whole will and all this stuff. So I wonder what your thoughts are on that.
Yeah, great question. So basically, my wife was 42 when she passed away. Never did I imagine, like, back when we were building that real estate portfolio, right? We both had roles in it. And when we started building it, you know how you start a vision board? There's nowhere on my vision board that said, I'm building this real estate portfolio in case my wife passes away. But unfortunately, that's exactly what happened, right? And it happened a few years later after I started. So basically, you know, the thing is that people just, they're not, you know, they're not ready. Now, them putting it off, it's one of those things that once you do it kind of once, right, then really every year you just review it briefly, like if there's a couple of changes. So I am a big believer in now thoughtfully organizing financial information in one place, because life will throw us all curveballs and we don't know when they come, and we don't know the severity. Because even things like maybe a job loss, disability, a divorce, these are all examples of life curveballs as well. So people have said to me, Jay, all you just need is make sure you have some life insurance. Well, under those scenarios, job loss, disability, right? There's no, life insurance doesn't help you. So basically you want to make sure that you are prepared, do it once. That's the beauty of it. Do it once and then you just review it.
Yeah, that's a really great point. I mean, it's worth it just to be a bit organized and just to do all that work initially. It could be a little painful to, like, you know, do the documents and legal stuff, but it definitely sets you up. I mean, it's not like Jay expected his wife to pass away at 42, but it definitely made it less stressful for, like, the afterward stuff, because without those, like, financial stuff intact, like, you've got a lot more stress in addition to the heartbreak, which is hard enough already. I know you mentioned you took a multi-year sabbatical. I mean, I mentioned that in the intro. And I feel like during some kind of heartbreak like this, you know, everyone's got to take some kind of sabbatical. You were able to take multi-year because you had the real estate going for you, which is why, you know, the earlier you invest, the more rewarding it is. But how did you get back to work after that sabbatical and get back into the motion?
Yes. Okay. So during the sabbatical, I thought, you know, after it happened, I was running a business. I phoned my clients, said, listen, I just got to shut it down. I thought it was going to be maybe a year, maybe a year and a half. But ultimately, you're right. I just didn't feel it at that time. After a year and a half, going through the executor phase, talking to other fathers, I wasn't into it yet. Like the drive or the ambition, which I had always had in my entire adult life, especially once my first child was born, it was really, really something that I was a driven guy. I was quite motivated. But I got back into it because I finally realized after 4 years, that is where I could make the impact. This is the first business I've done, Mark, where money was not the prime concern, right? All the businesses I've done in my adult life have all been, okay, how can I make money here? Prepared Fathers was all about how can I make an impact, right? How can I help others based on my experience? And that is really kind of the biggest thing, is that that's just the time it took. It just took, you know, maybe I thought it would happen again after 2 years, 3 years, it just wasn't there. But then after 4 years, I felt good enough, strong enough, all of those things. My children were well adjusted. I think that was the biggest part, by the way. I haven't mentioned them, but that was really the big part, where they had a chance to mature. They had a chance to kind of just be used to their routine with their mom not in their lives anymore. So that's the time it took. But yeah, value and impact are the two words that I would use when I'd say, why did you come back?
And I mean, a big part of being able to, you know, take 4 years off, because not everyone's able to do that, is that you did have the real estate. I mean, I know some people who maybe they've been able to take a year off, a few months off, then they have to get back into it. I'm wondering if you could share with us some of the things you did to build your real estate portfolio, because again, this can really happen to anyone. It could just take one day and then something really, like, you know, crazy can happen. So yes. And sure, that's how you built that real estate portfolio, because again, that was a really great portfolio for you to have during that time.
Oh yeah. Total lifesaver. People ask me, Jay, what would you have done if you didn't have real estate? And I'm just like, I'm glad I don't have to think about it, because it would not have been good. So the real estate portfolio, very simple. The simple story I'll tell you is, I took a trip when I was a teenager to India, and it was the first exposure I had to my grandfather's business. Back home in Canada, I was just like, you know, my parents both worked, so I didn't have any exposure to entrepreneurship. And when I went on that trip, he told me, like, he goes, if you ever want to be free, own your own business. So I came back from that at like 17 years old, and I told my parents, I'm never going to work after 25. They rolled their eyes a little bit and they said, yeah, go get your education. So that's exactly what I did. I went, enrolled in university, got that accounting degree. And the day before my 25th birthday in 1996, that was the last day I ever worked for anybody else. So that seed was already there, and it was entrepreneurship started. The real estate portfolio started basically the day my son was born in 2005. I, up until that point, did not own any real estate, just owned business. But then I decided, okay, once I held him, I then said, okay, how can I secure his financial future, right? I was thinking longer term, 10-year, 25-year down the road. And that is the driving force. So I started investing in properties about 3 hours away from me, right, in a very super hot oil-driven market of Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. Back then in 2006, 7, 8, it was going crazy in terms of the amount, or sorry, 2005 and 6, it was going crazy, the amount of the appreciation. So I jumped in 2007. And if you remember, that was right at the beginning of the credit crisis. So things which I was buying for $275,000, Mark, within 6 months, fell to under $200,000. So let's just say my first experience was an absolute bomb. It was horrible. However, and at that point, by the way, so you combine the fact with my real estate went down, and because of the credit crisis, my business also went down. It was profitable, but then it got chopped. Like, again, it seemed like overnight, but it was 6 months. So I redid the strategy. I just moved my location to my own backyard. I live in a city called Oakville, Canada. And I just started investing basically 5 minutes around where I lived. And here's the key thing I want your audience to realize, is that when I had to regroup and start again kind of in 2009 after Edmonton, I didn't have any money left. I was capped out in terms of the amount of mortgages I can go on. So the way I did that was I asked people to join me in joint venture, right? Joint venture, they come in with the money and the mortgages, I'll handle the A to Z of real estate. And let's just say that thankfully, I was able to show enough partners the great long-term opportunity. You know, four of them took me up on it. We built up a nice portfolio. And it was the timing wise for that. If the timing was bad in Edmonton, let's just say it was really good in Oakville, because you can imagine things had already dropped. So we were buying at great value, great prices. And it was very simple. I don't do any of these flips and flicks and flips and all that. I just do simple buy and holds in a very small geographic area that are 60 by 120 foot lots, three bedroom bungalows, simple in a very desired, like the area I live in is very nice. People like to live here. So that was it. A simple strategy, a simple geographic focus, a simple property type. I should say one instead of simple, one of everything, and just execute the strategy. I wasn't running around city to city or commercial property to multi. I wasn't doing any of that stuff. It was very simplistic. It was very focused. And that helps you when you're trying to get partners. It's very easy then, because they know, all right, this guy's focused and he had a bad experience, so he knows better. So those were kind of the combination. So I encourage people, the excuse of no money should never enter your mind. I have an abundance mentality. There's money everywhere. And basically, it's up to you to be the person who provides value. And trust me, the money finds you. So that's kind of the tips I have for people who want to build a portfolio. It's well worth it.
Jay, I absolutely love the mentality with the real estate. I mean, some people after a recession, after the whole 08 timeline, give up. You stayed strong with it and you found a way. You didn't say, oh, I have no money. Instead, let me find a way to get the money to make these investments so I have this portfolio. And it ended up being very critical for you during that timeline.
Driven was fine. But yes, you're right, Mark. I mean, like by that time, remember I said 2005, 2007, 2009. So I had three very young kids at home. And after 2007 and 8, I had bombed and I have no money left. So you can imagine the financial pressure is very high, because your wife, you know, my wife's looking at me like, what are you doing with this real estate stuff? You losing money. So, but yeah, there was no other, in my mind, there's no other choice. Like to me, it was okay. You have gone through this bad experience. Things aren't looking good right now, but what are you going to do? Are you just going to sit back and say, oh, well, I tried with a 4-year-old, a 2-year-old and a 1-year-old looking at you. It just doesn't work that way. So you have to keep going. I had put in a lot of hours in educating myself and developing expertise. My timing was wrong. And sometimes that's all it is. I think I had a right strategy. In Edmonton, it was the same thing. It was a very tight area. It was a very certain property thing. Just no great, the timing was horrible. Whereas in Oakville, the timing was great. And you just keep following through on your strategy. And the more you do it, people see it. And then like, oh, Jay, what are you up to? People were coming up to me then after, hey, what's going on with this real estate thing? What are you doing exactly? And then, it's really easier that way once you have a little success. But remember, that success was only created because of true heartbreak or failure or emotional distress of the situation I was in.
Yeah, I mean, that's great insight also, how people see the real estate portfolio, but they don't see what goes into it. And I'm happy you shared a little bit with us what went into it for people who want to build up that portfolio, because you never know what can happen. So, I mean, Jay, I feel like brought a lot of great points in this episode. I know he's got his podcast, A Minute with Jay, and all the work he does to prepare fathers will be in the show notes. What's one place you want us to go, though, so we can continue learning more about the work you're doing and follow you on your journey?
Yes, great. So we have a simple gift. When people in the audience are listening and they're hearing this whole thing about financial preparedness and wills, a lot of them, Mark, they don't quite know. They get it. They've heard our conversation. They're like, yeah, you know what? My children are worth it. I do want to do it. And remember one of your earlier questions, for some reason it's coming back to me, where you said people put it off. Well, the one thing I'll say is your children are worth it, right? Because you don't want them and your spouse or your family to go through a whole kind of stressful situations. The last thing you want to do is already be in a stressful situation and then put the financial stress on top. So that was just a little tangent about why people would want to do it. Now, to help them, we have a free gift. It's called The Ultimate Guide to Financial Preparation for Fathers. This is like a simple checklist. It's like 3 or 4 steps. Here's what you got to do just to get yourself kind of to the nice base level. And what I'll ask the people to do is they can go to www.preparedfathers.com/MARC. Okay. And that there'll be a link there and the checklist will be available. Just I encourage the audience, please, www.preparedfathers.com/MARC. And they can get their free copy of The Ultimate Guide to Financial Preparation.
Well, Jay, thank you for sharing that resource. This will definitely throw it in the show notes. But once again, it was a pleasure to have you on the Breakthrough Success podcast and radio show.
It was great to be with you, Mark. Thanks very much.